Good morning, church. First, I need to ask you to indulge me, please. It's so great when the Lord takes a word and adds to it, and adds to it again, and reinforces it. So I want to just speak to what Peter had brought up. And what's been on my heart for the last several weeks was the prophecy over this church. 1998. His name escapes me now, but 1998 over this church. And it talked about Ezekiel 47 with the waters flowing out from the temple and reaching out into the area and touching lives and seeing the fruit grow. So this was a prophecy. And part of this that's been on my heart is it's 1998. I think every two or three years I've said, I should read that and go back and see what the Lord had in mind. And then life goes on and you go, maybe I should check that again. So I'm going from there to what Nikki mentioned about the area. Last night, with what I've talked about and what Ron has talked about, Sauhegan Valley Outreach Team. So it's a group of the pastors in the area. And we had a dinner last night with pastors and their wives. And as we were sharing, the Lord put this on my heart in one accord. We need to be in one accord as we seek the Lord. This is, God help us, not religious duty to be here. This is seeking the Lord and saying, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to be doing? How do I put myself out for your people to make changes? And also, as Nikki had mentioned, is that we've said, and in this prophecy it says, you're not going to do it. Let the Spirit flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow through this place to touch lives, to touch people, to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice so that I can know what you want me to be about. Not going off and seeking my millions or seeking my vacation home. Nothing wrong with it, but where is our head? Where's our concentration? Where is our life? So we are seeking regularly with all of us that the Holy Spirit would flow, that it would flow out not only from this particular church but into this whole area, because we're believing still and continual that there is going to be revival here in New England, and God, let it start right here in this area. Amen. Because he has something for each and every one of us. We have done things in our life that we look back at and say, God, how could I ever slip to that level? And yet he forgave us. So we and I implore you that this is a time to say, Lord, I want to seek your voice. I want to know your heart. I want to be that servant that you want me to be. I want to put everything else aside that I have driven after, that I've said is so important, that's of this world, and say, Lord, what's important to you in our lives? And in that, our other prayer has been on our children. They are our leaders. They are the ones that are going to lead the churches, the government, the businesses. And we need to nurture them. We need to spend time with them. We need to know where and what they're doing, not to the point that we're collapsing or reducing their individuality, because it's so important. But every one of these lives, all of these children, we've been blessed. When I talk to these other churches, this church has been blessed with children. More than half of us are children. The other half of us, may be childlike. So with all of that, please, let's continue in this path. And I want to bless the Bloom Group, and Tori's going to come up, and they're going to be sharing with us. So pray with them, bless them. Let this be a sharing session. Tori?
That's awesome. Look at all these kids. Well, the room all of a sudden got lopsided. So there was a mass exodus from this side of the room. Well, I am so excited to be here. My name is Tori Ferrari. I'm the director of Teen Challenge New England's Bloom, A Place for Girls. How many of you were here last time that we came? Only a few of you? Really? Excellent. Okay, I have a brand new group to educate. I know you all are familiar with Teen Challenge, right?
Yes.
Okay. Teen Challenge Manchester has a home for men. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are almost 300 Teen Challenge programs around the country. And most of them, even though they're called Teen Challenge, most of them are now for adults. In fact, in the country, only 23 remain that are actually for teenagers. So out of those 23, 12 of them are for teenage girls. And out of those, all of them are long-term programs. You know that the men's program is 12 to 15 months, right? Well, all of the adolescent programs are 12 to 15 months or longer as well, with the exception of two of them. One of them is in Tucson, Arizona, and I had the honor and privilege of serving there as the director for 15 years. And it was there that I was sitting in my office in July. How many of you have been to Arizona in July? Smart. The rest of you, sorry, Paul, not very smart. You don't go to Arizona in July. But I was sitting in my office, and I got a phone call from a dad. And very simply, he was asking about the program there because, like I said, all of the adolescent programs are 12, 15, 18, 24 months long. We're talking as young as 12 up to the age of 18 years old. And he was calling because he really wanted a Teen Challenge program, but he wanted a short-term program, and that was the program in Arizona. It was a minimum of 3 months, maximum of 5 months. And so I was telling him about the program, and I was, you know, talking about the longevity. We'd been around for almost 40 years, and it was short term, and the success and all of that. And he says, I'm going to stop you real quick. He says, so you're telling me that the only options I have, he said, because this is in Arizona. I said, yes. He said, so the only options I have to get my daughter help in Teen Challenge is to send her away for 15 months or send her 3,000 miles away from home. And he said, I'm calling from Hyannis. And I said, well, yes, those are your options. And he said, those are not options. And he hung the phone up on me. And I thought to myself, he's absolutely right. If you're a parent and you are desperately looking for help for your teenage daughter, what choice is it between sending them 3,000 miles away from home or sending them away for 15 months? And so I sat in my office and I cried. And as he hung up, I kind of felt like the Lord was calling. Now it's really easy to hear God in July in Arizona calling you to New England. You know you're being obedient when you move to New England from Arizona in February. So the following February, my husband and I moved here from Tucson, Arizona. And there was no home, there was no program, but we knew that God had invited us here to do just that. And so 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, we opened up Bloom, A Place for Girls, the second short-term teen challenge program in the entire country. Yay. It's been amazing. This last Friday, we graduated our 54th graduate from the program. It's absolutely phenomenal. There are times I sit in my office and I look around and I go, none of this existed 5.5 years ago. There was no place for these girls to get help 5.5 years ago. There was no place for these young ladies to have their stories rewritten. There was no place that parents could call and could reach out for help for their daughters who desperately needed it. But there is now, because God is a good God and He cares. And He heard the cries of parents on this side of the country, and He decided to, I don't know why, but bless me with being part of the answer. And so I am so excited to be in New England. I love New England. People ask me all the time, do you miss Arizona? The answer is absolutely not. Except your drivers here are insane. That's my only complaint. But then I also think I have found my people. So I am thrilled to be here today and to share with you really what the Lord is doing in this small home in southern Massachusetts. And you know, there are a lot of different ways that we can share the stories, but the reality is that what we see is nothing new. We look at the culture these days and we go, oh my gosh, it's worse than it's ever been. I hate to tell you this, no, it's not. It's more obvious, but sin has always been an issue. And isn't that what we're really working with? There's a sin issue in our culture that the good news is the solution is still the same. The sin issue that existed 100 years ago, the solution is still the same. The sin issue that existed 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, the sin issue that existed 2,000 years ago, the solution is still the same. And His name is Jesus. So we can look through Scripture and we can see all different examples of women that have been caught in their sin. What's the story that comes to mind? The woman at the well? Okay. What's that? The woman caught in adultery. We're going to start with that one. How's that sound? Now, ladies, I don't know about you, but I've read that story many, many times. Does any other woman in the room get a little irritated that we're just talking about the woman that was caught in that situation? Because we know there was a man involved. Right? But the story is amazing because as we read this, this woman was caught in the act of sin and she's brought out the guy. He gets away with it. Well, he didn't get publicly humiliated. But did he get away with it? Because here this woman was brought before Jesus. She was caught and she had an opportunity to come face to face with Jesus. To have her story rewritten. I'm stealing that the whole time, just so you know. Okay. To have her story For Jesus to rewrite her story. And that's what happens. You see, we don't know what happens to him. He slinks off. We don't know his name. We don't know his story, but we know hers. You see, there's opportunity when we get caught. A lot of the young ladies that come in, as I said, they can be as young as 12 up to the age of 18. And Teen Challenge is kind of known for drug and alcohol addictions, but Bloom is so much broader than that. Because some of the young ladies that come to us, they're not struggling with drugs and alcohol. Some of them are struggling with self-harming, suicidal tendencies, sexual exploitation, lying, manipulation, rebellion, stealing, you name it, we see it. It's much broader than just drugs and alcohol. It doesn't matter what we name our sin. The solution is still the same. And so, like this woman, a lot of the young ladies that come in, they got caught. Now, they think it's the end of the world. Oh, no. My fun has come to an end. But the reality is that they are afforded the opportunity, because they got caught, to come in, come face to face with Jesus, and have it change everything. Just like with this woman. They don't like it when they get caught. So when parents call me, we have about 500 parents that call every single year for 6 spaces. And talking to some of these parents, it's heartbreaking. And I remember most of the phone calls. especially of the young ladies that come in. And I'll never forget the phone call I had with this mom as she was telling me about her incredible daughter and how she was just really struggling and she had gotten caught and she was just looking for help. I'll never forget, I was on the fourth floor of Primark in Boston. I'm on call 24/7. And I was so happy when I finally had the opportunity to meet this young woman. And I was even happier as I got to see what happened in that short 3 to 5 months time frame. People say to me all the time, because they're used to Teen Challenge being the long term, well, that's just not long enough. If you call a long-term Teen Challenge program for teenagers, they'll tell you 3 to 5 months isn't long enough. I would beg to differ. I've been doing this about 20 years. I can tell you over and over again the miracles that I have seen happen in that short amount of time. And I all, when people say, it's just not long enough, I say, take a look around. Look what God did in 6 days. We're giving him plenty of time to work. All it takes is one encounter. That's it. So I'm going to ask this young lady if she would come and join me and share her story with you.
Hi guys, my name is Michaela. I graduated Bloom around 2.5 years ago, so a while ago, and I've been attending River actually for 10. Around the beginning of my high school freshman year, I had been struggling a lot with a couple different things. I had, you know, always grown up in church. I had attended, you know, church twice a week, and I had volunteered at every, you know, vacation Bible school. I had done everything that I thought, you know, I was supposed to do, you know, as a good, you know, a good Christian. I thought I was supposed to be doing throughout, you know, my, you know, growing up. Again, I had a great family, amazing relationships with, you know, everyone. And then I, you know, I hit high school and I really started to struggle. I really started to question who I was in my faith. And I really started to, you know, search for other things to fulfill me. I had started to really dig myself into a hole of, you know, lies. I had started to steal from my family. I'd started to push, you know, my sister away. I started to push my mom and dad away. I started to, you know, just dig myself into this pit. And I was really, you know, deep inside of this pit. And for the longest time, I didn't know, you know, how I would get out of it. It was around, you know, my freshman year progressed. I was still, you know, continuing to, you know, dig myself into this hole. And, you know, junior year hit, and I had met, you know, my now ex-boyfriend. And from, you know, that relationship really had, you know, was the pin in the wall. I was manipulated. I was, you know, verbally abused. It was very, you know, it was not a, you know, a good relationship. It was not what the Lord had for me. And from that point on, I had really decided that, you know, my relationship with the Lord, that was all what my parents had wanted me to do, and it wasn't what I wanted to do. So from there on out, I had really, you know, distanced myself from everyone. You know, the Lord was Jesus. You know, that was not my thing. I had decided, you know, my own plan for my life. I had kind of written out, I literally had this Word document. It was like 3 pages long, and it had my 5-year plan with like some 10-year, like, you know, it was just a long list of this, you know, what I wanted to do. And, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, that, you know, didn't work out. I'll tell you that right now. So I, you know, continued on with this relationship. I continued to, you know, just do what I was doing and live what I wanted to live like. I always like to say that I had a God-sized hole in my heart, and I would try to fill this hole, you know, whether it be with alcohol, you know, relationships, you know, lies, you know, physical items. It never worked. You know, nothing ever fulfilled me like the, you know, like what the Lord, you know, what he fills me with. And it was, you know, I was in my junior year, and my mom had just noticed this progression, and she came to me one day and, you know, showed me Bloom. And it was on a Tuesday that she told me, and Friday I walked in the doors of Bloom. The Holy Spirit was definitely on me, you know, that morning that my mom had told me, because knowing me 2.5 years ago, I would have run away. I wouldn't have, you know, wanted to go. But, you know, I walked in that door confident that, you know, if I wasn't going to do this for myself, I was going to do it for my family. And let's just say I struggled my first 2 weeks. I really pushed against, everything the Lord had been trying to speak to me. And then I had an encounter. And then I faced the Lord face to face. And I just knew that, no matter what, he was what defined me. All those things that I had tried to, to fulfill myself with, they didn't matter because he was the only thing that could possibly, fulfill me. He was the only one that could define me. He was the only one that could tell me who I am. And from there on out, the Lord has just instilled this joy in my heart that I never had before. He has just blessed me, tremendously. I was able to get out of that relationship, and when I came home, the Lord just, restored and put the puzzle together for me, and, restored relationships, and, was able to, bring me, out of that pit of, where I really was. Right now, the Lord has, again, just amazingly blessed me. I was actually able to come back and serve with Ms. Torrey for 6 months as an apprentice. I was able to be on staff. And that was just an amazing, opportunity. And from there, I was able to graduate high school, and, I'm now engaged, going to be married in September. And the Lord is just, he's moving. And, if it wasn't for Bloom, I don't really know. If it wasn't for the Lord in my encounter, I don't know where I'd be now. But thank you for letting me share.
That just messes me up. I don't know about you. I've always said that the day that I can listen to a testimony of what God has done in somebody's life and not be moved by it, it's time for me to do something else. That's a life that came face to face with Jesus, and everything changed. The whole direction of her life radically changed. Her story was rewritten. Aren't you glad that first plan didn't work out? Because look at this handsome young man sitting next to you. We'll continue our interview later. She got caught, and because of that, she had an encounter with Jesus. We can read in Scripture the next one, the woman at the well. What a great, powerful story that is. There's so many things that when we read that, we miss because we read the words, but sometimes we miss some of the backstory. You see, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. And they didn't believe in the prophets or the law. They worshiped differently. They took what their religion was, and they turned it just enough so that it was no longer true religion. That's kind of what the culture is doing, right? It takes some truth, and it clicks it just a little bit, and before you know it, it's not true anymore. And so that's the culture that these young women walk into every single day. It's full of lies. But for this woman at the well, you see, she had a Jesus appointment. And they enter into a conversation, and you know the story, where he says, well, go get your husband. She goes, well, I don't have one. And he says, well, you've spoken true. You've had five. Now, we could talk about addiction, because that sounds like an addiction to me. It was just an addiction to husbands. But there's another piece to it, and that is when they continue their conversation and he starts telling her all these things, and she looks at him and she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. In that moment, her eyes were open to the lies of the culture that she lived in, and she started to see truth. She started to see Jesus was truth, that the lies that she had been told were true, weren't. This culture is lying to our kids. You can't find an area that the culture is telling them the truth in. There is one truth. His name is Jesus. But see, for this woman, that encounter took the blinders off of her eyes. Almost every young woman that comes in to Bloom is raised in the church. They're being raised in Christian homes. They're being raised in youth groups, coming to church on Sundays. They're being raised with the truth, but they're not grabbing hold of it. Instead, they have truth 2.0. How many of you know the original is always the best? The sequels are never as good. But that's what's happening. And so when I talk to these young ladies before they ever come in, I tell them straight up, wrestle with your faith. Because so far, your faith has not sustained you. You're believing something because your parents told you, your pastor told you, your youth pastor told you, but you don't have the conviction of it for yourself. And the reality is, when real life comes against your faith, which one's going to stand? So they have to leave Bloom confident and convicted of what they believe. And so we tell them to wrestle with these things. And it's a challenge. It's not easy. And when they enter back into the world, kind of like a cocoon, when they go back, it's hard because the culture is still there, yelling at them. I'm going to ask Mia to come and join me. So Mia, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mia. I'm 13 and I graduated last January. Yeah, I graduated last January. So I've like always grown up in a Christian home and everything, but I never had my own relationship with God. And when I was 4, my grandparents did not get divorced. My parents got divorced. And my mom and I moved in with my grandparents, but I would go to see my dad every other weekend. And so when I was in first grade, my mom, my stepdad, my younger brother, and I, we all moved again. And I was still seeing my dad, but in third grade, I just stopped going, and I didn't know why, but I was, so this was because he was an addict, which I didn't understand what that meant, but I later did. So in sixth grade, I decided to stop contacting my dad altogether. Like, I would call him and stuff, but like, he just had stopped answering, and he would like call when he wanted to. And so I just was done with that because I kept getting disappointed every time he didn't pick up. And so I decided to stop altogether. And so people's opinions really mattered to me. And I went into sixth grade with a good group of friends, and then we kind of all went our separate ways. And that was really hard for me, and I started to get really mad at God because I didn't understand like why he was doing this. Like, well, I thought it was him doing, like, why he was doing this. And I was like, and I had been going to church like 2 days a week, and I didn't understand because I had been attending church, and then this was just all happening. And so I ended up making another friend, and that lasted for like about 3 months. And then it started to go downhill, but I still continued to be their friend because their opinion mattered so much to me, even though it was just not healthy. And I was just so angry, and I was taking it all out on my family, and I was just so mad, and it was really bad. And so we found Bloom, and I entered in September. Exactly a week in, I was saved, and it just changed my outlook on everything. I realized that like I had been going through the motions. I hadn't had that relationship, and God helped me forgive my dad. He helped me realize that his opinion is the only opinion that matters. And yeah, and that, yeah, just that no one's opinion mattered. And he helped me forgive a lot of people, which was really the cause of my anger and stuff. So now that I've graduated, I've shared my testimony with a few people, and I've been talking to people who like went through the same thing or are going through the same thing that I did, and it's just been really good to connect with those people, and I want to continue to do that. And now I have my own relationship with God, and it's really strong, and life has been better than it's ever been. Thank you.
Third 13 years old. That takes a lot of guts, doesn't it? Yeah, 13 years old. That's because they're not very scary. I'll tell you, you guys are much better looking than a lot of the churches we go into. I'm just saying. Don't tell the other churches I said that. You know what? It's not easy. When they go home, they're confronted with the same stuff. But they have different stuff inside of them. We know the story of Mary Magdalene. We make a lot of assumptions about Mary Magdalene. You know what? I bet she would not have been happy if social media was available back then. Because we're still talking about some of those really bad rumors about her. What Scripture tells us about Mary Magdalene is that she was healed of 7 infirmities. That's what Scripture tells us about Mary Magdalene. A lot of the young ladies that come in, this isn't their first program. In fact, on average, this is the 5th, 6th, or 7th program that somebody has gone through before they ever come through our doors. A lot of them have gone through hospitalizations, inpatient, outpatient, day programs. They've been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, RAD, OCD, ODD. Am I missing any of the alphabets? I don't think so. Bipolar, forgot about that one. They're diagnosed with all sorts of things. But when they come through our doors, we're not a clinic, we're not a therapeutic environment. You know what? This is what we use. This has power. This has the power to transform a life. And so that's what we use. And so when they come in, we're not talking about whether or not their PTSD, I forgot that one. PTSD or their RAD is acting up. We worry about one label and one label only. Daughter of the King. That's the only label that matters. When we reach the end of our life, that's the one that matters. And so we focus on that. We focus on helping these young women become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is found in Luke 8. I call it the desperate woman. It's not what is the title of the subscript in your Bible. I call her the desperate woman because she had the issue of blood for 12 years, right? And she had tried everything and nothing worked. And so she hears Jesus is going to be in town and all of a sudden she knows what she needs to do. And I always get a mental picture of this. Because here, the streets of Jerusalem were crowded, and people were pressing in. And here's this woman. I'm only 5'3", so if I'm in a crowd, I'm always having to do one of these, or find something to stand on, so I can get a better view. This woman, think about what she had to do to get to Jesus. I equate it to Black Friday. Because I'm pretty sure that this woman had to, with all the godliness she could, throw an elbow just to get past some people. She may have had to push somebody aside to be able to get through the crowd. She had to do whatever she had to do to get to where she needed to go to get the healing that she desperately wanted. That's not a timid person. She had to get feisty. She had to say, "That's where I need to go." I'd like to introduce you to another young lady who did just that. Come join me, Sammy.
Hi. As most of you know, I'm Sam. So, interesting fact, on Friday, I had my wisdom teeth out, and this whole weekend I've been in pain, and I was just sitting there knowing this morning that I wasn't going to be able to speak my testimony, and all of a sudden, this like weird feeling of peace came over my mouth, and like it just felt so much better, to the point where like I knew I could actually talk and you guys could kind of understand what I was saying. So amen to that. Okay, so I graduated from Bloom, like I think a week ago was a year, so a year ago. Sorry, I forgot what I was gonna say. So I grew up in a Christian home. We've been going to this church for like 10 years. I've always grown up here. I've always grown up in the church. But growing up, like the older I got, the more I started questioning things for myself and not doing what my parents like wanted me to. So I would come to church every Sunday. I would put on that fake smile. I would act like, oh yeah, raise my hands, like do all that stuff. And when I would walk out the door, it was a totally different person. So I was playing the roles of two people. And the older I got, I started getting into stuff. I got into a bad crowd. I started getting into some drugs with them. We drank sometimes. It was just stuff I shouldn't have been getting into. And then by the time I was 16 was when I was really in a, like a downward spiral. And it just wasn't good. I was suicidal. I was hurting myself. I was doing stuff that was hurting myself, hurting my body. And I just honestly didn't want to live anymore. And then, obviously, as most of you know, my sister went into Bloom, and when she got home, my hate for God grew even more because I saw how happy she was, and it didn't make sense how one person that you can't see can make you so happy. But it is so true that having faith in someone that you can't see really does bring you so much joy. And I don't know, I'm getting off topic here, sorry. Bloom came to our church. I was sitting right over there where the Bloom girls were sitting. And I remember walking in to the church and I just felt so off, and I always knew that. Oh, church isn't for me. And I always had this weird feeling whenever I walked into church. But every Sunday I walked in, I sat right there. And as one of the girls was sharing her testimonies, I just broke down. I started crying, and I wasn't one to cry back then. I held everything in. Oh, I'm so tough, yada, yada. But I just started crying, and I went up to Priscilla, one of the biblical counselors that works there, and she just prayed for me. And right then I knew that if I didn't get help, I probably wouldn't have made it the next year. So I walked in on Monday. I walked in broken, hurt, ashamed of everything. And 3 months later, I walked out knowing who I was in God, knowing that I am a child of God and I am loved. And yeah, so it's just amazing. Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't still do miracles. She's like that desperate woman in Scripture, because she saw what she needed and she was going to do whatever she had to get to it. Now, part of that story is that when she finally reaches Jesus, she grabs hold of the hem of his garment. Little known facts about the hem. Back then, if you were somebody important, it was embroidered, kind of like a "Hi, my name is" sticker. It would say, "Hi, my name is such and such, and I'm important, and I'm priest over this, or I'm rabbi over this," whatever it was. And they also had pomegranate seeds sown into the hems of their garment, representing the promises of God. So you see, when she grabbed the hem, she was grabbing hold of who he was and every promise that he had for her. When Sammy walked into Bloom, she grabbed hold of who he is and every promise he had for her. She came face to face with Jesus, and everything changed. Now, I'm going to do something totally unfair to you all right now, and I'm going to ask Michael if he'll come up. Because you see, there's also two sides to every story.
Good morning. I don't stand in front of crowds, and I hate doing this type of stuff, so.
You know, God is about restoring families. This family is such a precious family to us. I know it's a precious family to you. But God is about restoring families. And that's what he did in this case. Perfect? Nope. But I can't imagine as a dad.
You okay?
Yeah. Just need a second. So obviously met my two daughters. You know, they've both gone through Bloom, and you've heard their story. So basically, the resident sponsorship program, I wouldn't have been able to send them if they didn't have a sponsorship program. So, you know. So it's $1 a day. I'm just going to get right into it. It's $1 a day, $30 a month, and you know, it helped me, you know, send my two girls there, and it changed my life and our family's life and you know, our generations after us. So I have to check my notes of what my wife sent me, by the way, so I don't just mess it up. So, but, so I just want to thank you for your time. If you'd like to sponsor, this is the pamphlet. Take it with you. Go see the girls in the back afterwards. They've got some great stuff, and they'll talk to you about the program. I've seen they have, and, you know, because we wouldn't have been able to do it without other churches sponsoring these young ladies and my ladies. So I probably have so much more to say, but not very good.
So you do have those pamphlets. Take a look at them, please. Because it does enable us to help every single one of these young ladies, because none of these young ladies pay the full amount to come into our program. Honestly, they can't. They just can't. And so we never, you know, we're a ministry. We won't turn somebody away because they can't afford the cost of our program, but I'm going to be very, very transparent with you right now. The cost is $10,000 per month per girl for us to care for them. That's how much it costs us. And so when you do sponsorship, you're making a way for somebody's child. You're sowing into somebody's life. Now I'm going to have the young ladies come up and get ready. I want to share one last testimony with you. I've been doing this about 20 years. And in that time, I have seen thousands upon thousands of young ladies that have come into the program broken, confused, lost. And come on up, ladies. And all they needed was an opportunity. There was a young lady that came into the program age 16 years old, high school dropout, abusive boyfriend, never did drugs or alcohol, but was about as rebellious as it gets. And she came into the program through other people's generosity. And it was there that she heard for the very first time the gospel. 16 years old. How in the world, in our country where we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, can somebody reach 16 without having heard the gospel message? And yet she hadn't. And it was in that program that she heard the gospel message for the first time. And when she was presented with the opportunity, when she came face to face with Jesus, she said yes, and it radically rewrote her story. It rewrote her story so that she dropped back into high school, graduated, went on to college, dumped the abusive boyfriend she had been dating, found a non-abusive, godly young man, married him, had two sons, and 5 years ago moved to New England to open up the second short-term teen challenge program in the entire country. That was me. Oh my gosh, I don't even want to tell you how many years ago that was. 30 plus years ago, 35 years ago, I was where they are. And had it not been for somebody like you being who you are, I would not have gotten that opportunity. I would not be able to sit here, stand here, and say to these young ladies when they go, "Miss Tori, you don't understand," or, "Miss Tori, I want to go home. I don't want to be here after being here." I tell that story all the time. The ladies, the girl that said after being here a week that she was done, she was good, she was going to go home, that's her. I couldn't tell them, "Look, I get it. I've been where you're at, but here's the good news. God is no respecter of persons. What he's done in my life, he's going to do in their life, and he's going to do in the life of your loved one also." So don't stop believing for your loved ones that need just to have that face-to-face encounter. Ladies, are you ready?
Oh, you say I am yours. taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Like the woman at the well, if you look at the next chapter, there's a whole community that's changed because of her experience. These young ladies, they're going to go home and they're going to reach their communities. They're going to be in their churches making a difference. They're going to be reaching their friends and making a difference and sharing their stories. I want to thank you all so much for allowing us the opportunity to share their stories. We have a table in the fellowship hall area. Is that what you call it, your fellowship hall? Please come by. Please prayerfully consider sponsoring one of these young ladies. Please fill out, there's a card in there also, a prayer card. Consider filling that out. We're not going to flood your inbox or your mailbox with all sorts of stuff. But will you commit to praying with these young ladies and for these young ladies? And if you have a prayer need, put it on there also, because we weekly pray for the needs on those cards. So please don't leave here without filling that out and visiting with us at the table. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
Tori, I'd like to say I relate to the parts where you said you have many stories. As I've aged, and God, it's gone faster than I thought or cared, but the stories just accumulate and accumulate. And I find it interesting that when I tell my children, and they're adult children now, I get the rolling of the eyes. And in fact, on one occasion I said, please, if I ever start repeating stories, please tell me. And they said, Dad, you already do. You're already there. But, you know, as we listen, as I said before, this is not our religious duty. But I ask you to consider how many of the things from sermons that you've heard over all of the years and weeks that you remember. I want to share two that have stuck with me. One of them, at least 30 years ago, and the pastor said this: what you do to moderation, there's a danger your children will do to excess. So our actions, our words, are what we're modeling to our children. And the other was about 5 years ago. I have the good fortune of being married to a lovely Brazilian lady. And I went to what they call a moria about 5 years ago. It's a weekend spending time with the Lord getting to know the Lord, touching on these problems. And the pastor said, and part of it, you can choose the sin, but you don't get to choose the consequences. And our children are not at the point where they can understand the consequences. We can't convey to them in a fashion under the circumstances that there are consequences. But we must try. So with that, Tori and young ladies, we'd like to thank you. We'd like to close it in prayer. And the song that comes to mind is, how often have you listened to the blessing? Listen to it in English, in Japanese, in Portuguese, in Spanish. And in fact, one morning when we were just away, we went through the whole rendition, and it builds. And it says, your family and your families. So we're praying over every family here, over these young girls, that Lord, we pray that as they come through this program, that they will be strong in you, that they would have the words to roll back and push back the lies and the sin that people try to force on them. Lord, that their hearts and their spirits would be fixed on you, that their lives would be a testimony to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that they would be blessed. And as they have families, that their families would be blessed, that they would be pillars of God, speaking forth the truth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them greatly. Bless everything that they do in their speech, in their heart, and how they treat people, Lord. For they are precious servants, and we send them out, Lord, to do your work. For this we thank you. So, as many of you are familiar, we don't often do a collection, and actually, we're not going to today, but if your heart has been touched today, either send it in as a check, you can put it in one of the boxes, or if you do a PayPal, please let David know, because when PayPal funds come in, there's no notation on it. So if you're making this out to Bloom on PayPal, please do contact David. But now we thank you. If you would adjourn to the fellowship hall and speak with the ladies, that would be great. Thank you all. God bless.